We are pleased to have with us, to lead us in our worship this morning, our local church pastor, Dr. Ben Lyons. Dr. Lyons is a native of Alabama, graduate of Howard College and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has been pastor of the Wake Forest Baptist Church since 1956. Dr. Lyons, we are happy that you can be with us today to lead us in this worship.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him who begs from you, and do not refuse him who would borrow from you. Isaac Babel, in one of his short stories, tells about the tragedy that overtook one family in the fighting that established the Red regime in Russia. The father and his 3 sons were in the Red Army. When the father turned traitor, he betrayed his sons along with the other soldiers. It was in the prison camp where the confrontation took place between the father and the sons. One of the sons is telling the story. And brother Fyodor caught father's papa's eye. And papa began to cut him up. Swine, red dog, he calls him, and lots of other things. And he kept cutting him up till it got dark, and brother Fyodor gave out and died. But this was only the first chapter. The brothers escaped, rejoined the Red Army, and finally the father was brought in as prisoner. One of the sons was company commander, and he began to work the father over. Am I treating you right, Papa? No, says Papa, you're treating me bad. And Fyodor, were you treating him right when you cut him up? No, says Papa, I was treating him bad. And did you think you would ever be treated bad too, Papa? No, says Papa. I didn't think I'd ever be treated bad. How far is this from the biblical? If any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Here was the law of retribution working its way out in the pain and the agony of human life. The individual strikes back at those who strike at him in the hope that by striking back he somehow will discourage further depredations. The nation strikes back, and we hear almost daily that if Russia destroys us once, that we will destroy them 20 times over. Isaac Babel may not have been trying to write a moral piece, but he was saying, here is where man's life is cast. Here's what people really think. Here is the way they live. Here is what they trust. Here is their answer to the question of what people ought to believe and what people ought to do. this will not work. It won't work in the long run. And I think that is becoming obvious to us all. There are three or four reasons, all spelled out in Isaac Babel, why this will not work. Am I treating you right, Papa? No, says Papa, you're treating me wrong. Papa knows the difference between right and wrong. If he could only plead that he were ignorant, if he could only say that he were incorrigibly, morally blind. But he knows the difference between the right and the wrong, between the good and the bad. And yet he is feeding a process. A process of retaliation. A process of vengeance. He is cutting down somebody. And then his life becomes a process of waiting until the next person cuts him down. And this turns the cycle once more, because he too must wait until he is cut down. We tell ourselves that we don't know, that if we knew the right thing, that we would do the right thing. That we're in a cultural lag, that technology has outrun man's moral development. But give education a little more time. Let us improve our environment, and then we will do what is right. Papa, are you being treated bad? Yes. We know the difference. Then the question is sharpened. But when you were doing bad to Theodore, did you know that you were treating him badly? And the answer is unhesitating, yes. I knew that I was treating him badly. What this man knew had very little to do with what he did. If we could only say to the world that Bull Connor did not know that those police dogs would tear at the flesh of Negroes. But Bull Connor did know. How convenient it would be if we could say to ourselves and to the world, but we did not know that if we allowed the blight of slums to take over our cities, that the lives of children will be warped by disease and ignorance, and they will be pointed toward a life of crime. But we do know. Now the question is sharpened once more. And did you think you would ever be treated bad when you were mistreating Theodore? No. I did not think I would ever be treated bad. Here is the illusion. The illusion that we can feed the process of retribution, of retaliation, of vengeance. That we can give ourselves to this kind of destructive legal life and somehow become the exception. In our pride and in our arrogance, we are the ones who are going to escape. Others will get caught, and others ought to get caught, but we won't get caught. If you could talk to one of the men holding up a bank, I suppose that he would tell you that 99 out of 100 men who hold up banks would get caught. Maybe 999 out of 1,000. But he's going to be the exception. It won't happen to him. And now is disclosed the weakness of all law based on retribution and punishment. For here was the son now feeding the process begun by his father. He saw his father do this evil thing. He saw the cycle turn. He saw it come home to his father. But he had not learned one thing from his experience. For here he was, doing exactly the same thing that brought his father to this stage. The New Testament came into being precisely because there was no answer to the predicament of mankind in law, in retribution, in punishment. This juggernaut was rolling, and it would roll to the end of time with one person setting up the next act, which in turn would set up the next act, until all of human life was eaten with hostility and antagonism and the desire to get even. Jesus came into this world and threw himself squarely in front of this juggernaut. He recognized that something had to be done, that some power had to come in from the outside to stop it. So he said, if somebody forces you to go 1 mile with him, you could wait in ambush until it was dark and he was returning, and you could roll a stone down on him and maybe not get caught. But how much better it would be if you voluntarily went the second mile with him. That if you have the feeling that somebody is after you, instead of setting traps for him, how much better to pray for him, to forgive him, to go on loving him regardless. But suppose they hem you up, life asked Jesus, and nail you to a cross in an unholy conviction. Then surely there is time to come down from the cross, to strike back, to save yourself at their expense. Jesus gave his answer. Not even from a cross. There's a new element turned loose in the life of the South today. And this new element is not simply that Negroes have the courage at last to stand up to the white man and say, I want what is just and right for me. Of course, that is new. But the really new thing is a deeper courage than this. It's that kind of courage that says that, like Jesus Christ, I will throw myself in front of this juggernaut of retribution and retaliation and vengeance. You can put me in jail. You can beat me with a bicycle chain. You can turn a water hose loose on me. I will pick the pieces of my children's bodies from buildings that have been bombed in anger. But I will not hate you. I will not retaliate. I will not strike back. This is new. This is Jesus' way. This is not to whitewash all that niggers are doing, or to say that they're pure and they're holy and they're sinless. They're not. They're human just like we are. And they have their mixed motives and their sinfulness to deal with. But they've caught a truth that is gospel truth. You and I are preaching to people almost every week who live in the Old Testament, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You and I are creating community, a community based on another foundation. The hope of this world is in the community that you and I are giving our lives to create. It must spread until it encircles the unredeemed life and delivers man from his bondage to sin and law and death and brings him the life that is in God through Jesus Christ. May we stand. Eternal God, grant us thy Holy Spirit in infinite power and wisdom, and in the inner recesses of our lives, may there be fundamental decision to live to its utmost, that life revealed in Jesus Christ, which has become our life through the grace and the mercy of God. And now may the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever.